Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues, Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Here in the second hour of the program on this Friday afternoon, April the 11th, we're going to kick it off with some listener email. We get a lot of email around here. We try to respond in a timely fashion. We don't always, it's not always timely as we'd like it to be, but that's the nature of our interaction with our listeners. They love to hear what we have to say. Some of them don't. They have criticisms. They have show suggestions. They have questions. And sometimes it's just questions that are out of the blue, and we like those as well. Our listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the second hour of the program, we're going to be playing Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Now, you can listen at our website, issuesetc.org, to all four soundbites. You can also vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can also, what else can you do? Send us a tweet or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. And then in about 40 minutes or so, we're going to play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's listener email, Jeff's favorite time of the week. I heard him back there saying, now I'm going to do what I've been waiting to do all week long. I'm going to go through and practice reading the email.
Yeah, the reason that I dislike this segment is I don't like being on the radio.
Right.
So that has a lot to do with
That's
it.
Why you're a producer.
And
yes.
Before we get to email, one of our visitors this week, Dave Lambert and his family from Troy, Michigan, stopped by, and he was pretty vociferous. He likes a little occasional banter.
The inane banter.
He didn't say inane. He just said occasional banter. In his case,
I heard him say inane. I'm pretty sure he said inane banter.
He might have said inane banter, but there's not much inane about any of us.
Okay, so
we're not deep enough to be inane.
Look, my explanation to Dave when he said, you guys can keep up with the banter if you want to during email, which we have in the past. Generally speaking, it goes off the rails and it becomes very distracting. Part of the reason we don't do that so much is because we're just not that interesting. To maintain that kind of stuff, your life has to be more interesting, or you have to think you're more interesting than you really are. And for us, it's just none of us. Craig thinks he's interesting, but he's the exception to the rule here at Lutheran Public Radio. My life is exceedingly boring, exactly the way I like it. I like it as boring as possible. Jeff is simply too busy. I don't even know how Jeff keeps track of what his kids' names are or anything like that.
It's a good wife.
A good wife, yes. And so
how many times can I tell the story that I went to journalism school at the University of Missouri with Brad Pitt? I mean, how many times can I? That's the height of it.
That's as exciting as it gets. That's where you peaked.
I peaked, yeah.
And then from that point on, you've been coasting downhill, not quickly, but very slowly downhill. And I peaked at about probably about 8 or 9 years old when I first became interested in girls. And that's when I peaked. That was the moment I was the coolest. I was the best looking. I could run without getting winded. All of those things. And from that point on, I've just been slowly aging. And life has been good. Don't get me wrong. But I think I peaked about there.
Well,
about 8 or 9 years old.
A good point that Dave made. It's like it proves that we're humans, that we're not just like a couple of machines. So in that vein, we are annually record shows.
People need proof that we're human.
Yes.
Okay.
We record shows for Holy Week, so we're on vacation next week. The three amigos here. So any big plans for the Wilkin clan?
No. I have lots of things at home that I need to do. My wife has lots of things at home that I need to do. And then that's it. I you know what I'm preparing for? I'm preparing myself mentally and emotionally for what's coming up in about 2 weeks from now. No, it's probably more like 3 weeks. The last Sunday of my pastor, Pastor Michael Cumm. I'm trying to brace myself for that moment. And it's coming. I can't help it. But there's nothing I can do about it. He's taken a call to go to Dunes, South Dakota. And he's leaving Trinity, where I serve with him. And I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And so I'm preparing myself for this. I'm preparing for the departure. People will know Pastor Cum by his voice. He does the liners. He's the voice of issues, etc. So that's what I'm going to do the whole week. I'm going to brace myself, distract myself from the inevitable. I'll probably cry into my pillow, you know, a little preemptive crying. But by the time the Sunday after Easter rolls around, I have to be ready for him to go because he's going to. That's the way it's going to be.
Lord Feichtinger, what's you're going to finally finish the basement project, the never-ending basement project, a project, by the way, that he promised before the birth of Molly.
Who's almost
back
1 year
July.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah. So now the second or third deadline, I think the second deadline was Christmas. Now the third deadline is her first birthday. I assume that's what you'll be doing during
the basement,
Holy Week.
The basement that little Molly will not be able to enjoy because it's basically Craig's man cave. That's the project. It's the project he's doing for his family. And by his family, he means him and his buddies.
Right, right.
Drinking beer in the basement. That's what he means, yeah.
Look, I'm going to buckle down this week. I've got a clear plan. I've got my days all mapped out. did I say that with
did
a clear...
Did he say he has his days mapped out? Because he certainly doesn't have them mapped out when he works here. Did he just say he has his days mapped out on his basement project? Why can't that get done around here?
You know the giant calendar thing that was supposed to be a calendar here on the wall? You know, we have a whiteboard. The largest whiteboard sold... In the Western world, on the wall of the control room out there, that was supposed to be Craig's calendar, and I think it's just his shopping list, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we get a little spot for Employee of the Month, but I'm gonna I tried to say it with a straight face. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. But I'm gonna get some work done in the basement. Reluctantly, Todd, Jeff, mow my grass. But otherwise. I'll be indoors watching as much. If it's, you know, there'll be a little playoff hockey towards the middle end of this week. So this is a time I look forward to next to Olympic hockey. It's playoff hockey. So
all the Blues are hurt, aren't they? I thought they were all in the hospital now. So why would you watch? It's over. Isn't the entire starting lineup of the Blues in some shape, matter, or form?
I think we've got three guys who make a difference day in and day out. Yeah, we've got Oshie, Backes, and Tarasenko. So three guys who we miss dearly, who are out of the lineup, and who knows when they're going to come back. So, yeah, it's not looking too good for Blues hockey this playoff season.
Switch to baseball. All right, Jeff, what are you going to be doing? And then we get to the email.
We're
doing this for Dave Lambert, by the way. So, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, here you go.
Enjoy it while
you
can.
This is 5 minutes. And we're going on, about 7 minutes of banter. Let's see. Well, obviously, we'll have great worship at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Looking forward to that. And I don't know. Beth will have everything else scheduled for me, but I really like to tell our listeners we got some great shows next week.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. We've been pre-recording shows for great original Holy Week programming. We just did one this morning with Pastor Peter Bender. I've done this for 15 years. I've interviewed a lot of people, a lot of very prominent people. It takes a lot to impress me if you're a guest. I love all our guests, but I'll admit it takes a lot to impress me. Peter Bender just blows me out of the water. His treatment of the Garden of Gethsemane. That's going to air, Tuesday this next
week? Yep.
Unbelievable. And in addition to others, we've talked about the trials of Jesus, and we've talked about, what was the other one we did?
Well, let's see. We have Monday, we have The Upper Room with Dr. Carl Fikencher, and then the events of Holy Week with Dr. Paul Meyer. On Tuesday, we have the Garden Gethsemane with Pastor Peter Bender, and the Liturgy of Maundy Thursday with Will Whedon. Wednesday, we have the Trials of Jesus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in the Liturgy of Good Friday.
He's
with
one
Pastor
of those guys
Whedon.
That doesn't impress me so much.
He's kidding, Brian. He's kidding. He loves you. As much as he likes the other Brian, Brian Katchelmeyer.
I kid because I love.
On Thursday, what do we have Thursday, Wilkster? We have Pastor Katchelmeyer, Christ in the Old Testament, the Passion of Christ according to Isaiah.
Yeah, Wolfmiller kind of warms up for Katchelmeyer.
And then Pastor Whedon will talk about the Easter Vigil on Thursday in the second hour. And then on Friday, a great hymn study with Dr. Arthur Just, My Song is Love Unknown. and an issue to Setra Classic, Dr. Norman Nagel, on the seven words of Christ from the cross. That's all coming up next week, Holy Week, here on Issues, Etc.
It's going to be great.
How about we get some email?
Are
we at break time yet? No,
we've got about a minute and a half before the break.
This is Mike. He listens in England. He says, I'm writing in response to your podcast at the beginning of February involving Bishop John Shelby Spong and Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Firstly, can I thank you for your podcast, which I have just found and started to listen to via the wonders of iTunes. They remind me a bit of an excellent program available in the UK called Unbelievable, presented by a very good presenter. Hats off to you, Wilkin. You're being compared to a very good host in the UK.
Okay.
Anything to say about that?
No.
Okay. All right. The reason I'm writing is that I don't believe that Dr. Montgomery has in any way negated many of the clear and concise logical concerns raised by Bishop Spong. I have read many of Bishop Spong's books, and as a longtime agnostic, I have to say that he is the only member of the clergy who has answered many of the difficult questions that the Christian faith throws up. I have attended evangelical courses such as the Alpha Course, which have never been able to answer difficult concerns over the many issues that concern modern-day people who, although uncertain, really want to come to faith in God. A couple of issues that have prevented me from accepting the Christian message are the need for God to sacrifice and resurrect His only Son for the purpose of forgiveness, and the Christian insistence that the only way to God is through the Jesus path. It is unbelievable to me that a loving, forgiving God could not forgive without the atonement, and that He wouldn't accept into His eternity a faithful, good, living Jew, Muslim, or any other decent human being. These are all points covered and made rational by Bishop Spong and not explained during the podcast by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, other than by a reference to two verses in the Bible and a plea to your listeners to follow the traditional biblical route. The accuracy of the Bible is difficult to accept for many of us outside the traditional church systems. Bishop Spong is not claiming that Christ is not the way, just that He is not the only way. Sounds good to me. I would just like to add that through Bishop Spong's books, I have found a true and deep belief in God, something that the traditional church have always failed to give me. Hope you don't mind me writing to you. All the very best for the future. Thanks for the email, Mike, and thanks for listening in England.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening. Well, at least you put your finger on the center of Christianity, which is, I mean, your problem with Christianity is the problem, isn't it? Your problem with Christianity is, why would God sacrifice His one and only Son to attain the atonement, the forgiveness, the redemption of a world of sinners? So you've got your finger on the right problem there. That's precisely the problem that Spong tries to solve by, well, I'll be quite honest with you, Spong tries to solve it by simply dismissing it. It's a trick. Now, go back and listen to the interview with Spong, and you'll hear him do it again and again and again. He does not respond to Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He simply dismisses that statement. He says, Jesus never said that. Well, that's convenient. You don't have to respond to a claim that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him, if you can just sweep those words out the door by saying, Jesus never said that. Be cautious whenever you hear anybody say, well, Jesus never said that, because you spoke of logic, Spong's logic. Logic requires arguments, and Jesus never said that isn't an argument, it's an assertion. And there's a big difference between an argument and an assertion. Now, if he wants to argue theologically that Jesus was wrong, or try and argue historically that Jesus didn't say that on the basis of the manuscript evidence, or on the basis of better evidence that Jesus said something contradictory to that, well, he can do that, but he doesn't. He simply dismisses the statement out of hand and makes up something of his own in its place. Spong is very good at, through kind of these dismissive arguments and also through scholarly sounding language, he likes to refer to all this stuff that's been proven by scholars that lay people don't know. First of all, it hasn't been proven by scholars, it's been asserted by scholars. And second of all, this stuff's been around for 200 years. Now, there may be a measure of the church that's only picking up on it now, but it has been around for 200 years. Spong is recycling the trash of the 18th century. He is. Now, he won't tell you that, but that's exactly what he's doing. Sometimes he'll admit that in the interview, he talked about getting something from Rudolf Bultmann. Yeah. He copped an idea from Rudolf Bultmann, and he has made a career off of copying old, pretty much discredited ideas of higher criticism ever since. So what does he do? He substitutes a Jesus of his own imagination. That's so convenient. The Jesus in the Bible isn't the real Jesus. Let me tell you who he really is, and he offers zero evidence for his Jesus. He simply asserts that Jesus isn't the person you find in the New Testament. He was someone who was there to show us kind of the universality of God and a Christ way of life, none of which you can find in any account attributed to Jesus in the New Testament. And then he says, Jesus is just one way. Now look, sooner or later you got to contend with the guy himself, Jesus. The whole problem of him dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that was his idea. He's the one who did it. So rather than talk to Spong about it, you go to Jesus himself in the most accurate accounts left by eyewitnesses. And you look at what he said he would do and what those eyewitnesses said he did do. That's what you got to struggle with. The question of why God would do such a thing can only be answered after you are able to determine whether God did such a thing. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, first you got to have the fact that he did die. And then you ask the question, why? And what does Jesus say? I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He explains in many and various ways why he had to do what he did. And the fact that he did it is well attested to. You might want to dismiss the evidence, but at least admit you're just dismissing the evidence rather than dealing with the evidence. When we come back, we're going to have some more listener email for you in the second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon. And then, in the last 20 minutes of the program, Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
No Elijah comes dashing in. Jesus hung there as the sun went into eclipse. And when the sun shone again, he was still there. the last sinner down the line had to be brought into the presence of God.
These people are bullies. And whenever you give in to a bully, it encourages them to bully more.
Theology influences architecture. We've built churches that have taken the old cliche seriously, that form follows function.
In comes this new idea that, like, gives their flesh a reason to say, I'm still a Christian, but I can kind of make it up as I go, and it is a perfect trap.
Just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, actually, you're the one who play. We just play the sound bites. You're the one who actually plays the game. You listen to the four sound bites that we have for you, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You will have an opportunity, if you have the best vote, to win the Issues Etc. What do we call it? The LPR bundle package. And Issues Etc. T-shirt, travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad in the last 20 minutes of Issues Etc.
There's some context to Irene's question via email. The last time we did email, you talked about what happens to babies or people who die before being baptized. And Irene writes, so my son is in hell because I couldn't get him baptized soon enough. The pastor was out of town. He died at 2 months old. What will I say to God? Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Irene.
Well, I hope you didn't understand. I can't remember what I might have said that would leave that impression. Look, the scripture does not clearly speak to the issue of what happens to babies of Christian parents who die without the opportunity of baptism. No, notice what I said, without the opportunity of baptism. The scripture does not clearly say, well, they perish eternally. What does scripture say? It says two things that we need to hold in tension, and then a third thing that we need to hang on to for dear life. The two things that it says is those who die apart from Christ perish eternally. That are, as we were saying before the break, we were responding to the agnostic, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. That babies are conceived and born in sin. I was conceived and born in sin because I was a baby when I was conceived. I was conceived and born in sin and thereby justly deserved God's eternal punishment. That's what I deserved. Now, the question is that what, had I not been baptized, I would have gotten? So the one thing that Scripture says is that those who die apart from Christ perish eternally. We simply can't compromise on this. If we say he makes exceptions for babies, for little sinners, then there's no reason why we can't say he makes exceptions for big sinners. And then you don't need Jesus. See what I'm saying? But the other thing that it says is that God does not delight in the death of the wicked. Not even a sparrow falls out of the sky dead without God's permission. Those people whom he has created, he treasures and values, and he earnestly desires the salvation of all. Those are the two things that stand in tension when it comes to the unanswered question of what about babies who die without the opportunity for baptism? And then there's the third thing that I said you need to hang on to for dear life. And that is with regard to your child. Even I know it's painful, even though it was 50 years ago you're talking about. The third thing that Scripture so clearly says, and the question that it does answer, is how abundant God's mercy is in Jesus Christ, not apart from Jesus Christ, not as an exception where, well, babies don't need that because they're innocent, or babies don't need that because they, through fault and no fault of their own, never had an opportunity to be received as God's child in baptism. No. God's mercy is found only in Jesus Christ. And the same God who created your child, gave you your child as a gift, as a Christian parent, also not only earnestly desires the child's salvation, but is far more abundantly merciful in Jesus Christ than we can imagine. So what I've told parents, and I'll tell you, of children who die before the opportunity of baptism, you know, people will say, well, the baby heard in the womb. That could be, but there's no clear word of God on that. the baby received the Lord's Supper while in the mother's womb. That could be. That could be. But there's no clear word on that either. There's no firm, sound promise. But there is the promise that God loves sinners for Christ's sake. And not because the babies are innocent or because they're a loophole or an exception to the rule, but solely out of his abundant, superabundant mercy, he has mercy on all sinners. You know what Luther says in response to this? He says, pray. The Christian parents ought to be praying for their children at all times, but especially when a woman finds out she's pregnant, she prays. She prays that the child would be kept safe, and she prays that God would be merciful to this child. She prays that God would forgive this child all their sins, and that the God who made them and sees and numbers our days and sees to every event in our life, solely out of his mercy for Jesus Christ, would not allow a bird to fall out of the sky without his permission, that God answers such prayers. That's what Luther says. He says, God hears the prayers of parents. When it comes to, and he always is anxious to be merciful to sinners. Now, is he making the exception for the babies? No. He's doing exactly what he does as a merciful father.
This comes from Stephen. He says, I know that the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Old Testament foretells the coming of a Messiah. Does the Old Testament also foretell the second coming of the Messiah? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Stephen.
Yes, it does. That's a great question, by the way. And it actually is the source of confusion sometimes when we're looking at the Old Testament predicting the first coming of the Messiah. Very often, the Old Testament, when looking ahead and talking about the coming of Jesus, speaks about his first and his second coming at the same time. It kind of mashes them together. You know what they have, you know, internet stuff they call the mashup, where they put stuff together that may be distant from one another, and that's what happens here. The first and second comings of Jesus distant from one another in time, on the timeline, in the prophetic vision, sometimes get delivered in the same prophecy. So that John the Baptist is a great example of this. John the Baptist foretells the first appearance of Jesus as his forerunner, and all of his language refers to Jesus' second coming. Well, almost all of his language refers to Jesus' second coming, to his second coming in judgment. And then Jesus, lo and behold, shows up, and I imagine John the Baptist is a bit confused, saying, I see no winnowing fork, I don't see judgment immediately being acted upon the earth, I don't see the trees being cut down and thrown into the fire, I don't see judgment day. Well, judgment day is coming, but John is a prophet, like almost all the prophets before him, saw the first and the second coming together. Now, the art there is to distinguish the first from the second. And the key we have for understanding Old Testament prophecy of Jesus' second coming is we know exactly what the first coming looked like. So we can go through and say, ah, this is a reference to his second coming. And it doesn't make it look like it's going to be great. That's the other thing the prophets describe when they come describe the second coming of Jesus. The day of the Lord, is it light? No, it's darkness, it's gloom, it's fire, it's thunder, it's judgment. Remember, the first task of the prophet is to call to repentance. Now, it also describes a new heaven and a new earth and all of those things, but first comes the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great thing is that all of this is comprehended in Christ himself at the cross. Where Christ, we know what Judgment Day is going to look like for us. You want to know how? Because we know what it looked like for Jesus. It looked like death on a cross. That was our Judgment Day in him. And you say, but that's the death that won my pardon. That's the death that has earned me forgiveness of sins. Exactly. That's what Judgment Day is going to look like for you in Christ, pardon and forgiveness of sins. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit more listener email, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Get ready to call 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. How much money I got to spend, got to get back to my baby again.
lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues, et cetera, as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues, et cetera, is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email on this Friday afternoon, April the 11th, and in just a few minutes, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. What's next?
Emmanuel has two questions. Hello, pastors. In this case, it would be pastor. Neither Craig nor I wear a clergy collar. Emmanuel says, this may be a difficult question to answer, so if it can't be answered, that's fine. When Christ first instituted the Eucharist, was his body and blood present along with the bread and wine? And also, when we receive Christ's body and blood, are we receiving Christ's resurrected body? And what blood are we receiving in the sacrament?
Two good questions. Answer the first one. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, was he giving, along with the bread and the wine, his disciples, his body and blood? Yes. How do we know? He said so. It's that simple. Norman Nagel always used to say, the Lord's Supper is never a nothing. He says God's word is never a nothing. And it's not a demonstration. It's when Jesus says, this is my body, that means something. And the best way to know what it means is to just follow his words like a bouncing ball. This is my body. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Taken in his simple, plain sense. And Jesus is a plain speaker. You know, he does know how to tell a parable, but usually says the kingdom of heaven is like, and he doesn't say, this is like my body, or let me tell you a little object lesson. No, he says, this is my body, taken in its plain sense. We know that his body and blood are there for his disciples to eat and drink for the forgiveness of their sins, just as his word says, because he says it is. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. He gets to say what it is, not us. Second question, when we receive the Lord's Supper, are we receiving his resurrected body and blood? I would say yes, resurrected body and blood. Yeah, we're not receiving dead body and blood. We're receiving the crucified and risen Christ in his body and blood. What blood? The blood that courses through his veins even now as we speak, as he sits at the right hand of God. He is, by his miraculous power, able to give to us for the forgiveness of sins to drink in that cup with the wine. Why? How do we know it? He says so. So it all hangs upon the words and the promises of Christ.
Mark in Minneapolis says, I was listening to a recent show where a caller on the comment line alluded to her and her husband routinely falling asleep while listening to Issues Etc. podcasts, and Pastor Wilkin mentioned that he is aware of others that have told him similar anecdotes. Does this make Pastor Wilkin the Barry White of confessional Lutheranism?
Not if you judge me by my voice. Most definitely. I would say I would prefer the Ambien of confessional Lutheranism. I'm happy to be the Ambien. Isn't the sleeping pill? Ambien?
I have no idea what you're talking
yes.
about. Craig says yes.
I delight in the fact that people listen while waking and sleeping. Look, if the only time you have to listen to Issues, et cetera, is while you're asleep, that's good. I got no problem with that. I like to be able to accompany people wherever they are, that we can bring our guests and our topics to them when they're doing the dishes, mowing the grass, or slowly falling off to sleep in the evening.
Here's a quick final email from Kevin in Indiana. He says, Pastor Jeff and Craig, thank you so much for your dedication to Issues, Etc. Today, April 4th, marks the completion of 300 weeks of Issues, Etc. since its reincarnation. I know because I download the programs a week at a time and create weekly playlists for my phone. Congratulations on the accomplishment. It is certainly a blessing to all who listen. May the Lord bless you and the listeners with many more years of Issues, Etc. Thanks so much, Kevin in Indiana.
I finally have corroboration. I've been telling I've been telling Jeff. There's a little difference between Jesus and Jeff. I've been telling Jeff for years now when we do our shows. Oh, we hit 1,000 shows. We hit this many shows. And I was going to tell him on April 4th, we just hit 1,500 shows. But he doesn't believe me. He says, I don't think you've been keeping accurate count. Well, there's my corroboration. The listener has kept count. April 4th, we hit 1,500 shows. Hey, that's nice. It's nice to be back even 1,500 episodes, 1,500 shows later.